tired, I'm worn. My heart is heavy from the work it takes to keep on breathing. I've made mistakes. I've let my hope fail. My soul feels crushed by the weight of this world, and I know that you can give me rest. So I cry out with all that I have left. Let me see redemption win. Let me know the struggle ends, that you can mend a heart that's frail.
Don't maker of heaven and earth.
Good morning, everyone. You are tuned in live with The Hope Show. First of all, I want to wish you a happy belated Valentine's Day. I'm a little nervous today. It's been a long time since I've visited with you folks, but I'm excited, too. I guess it's like riding a bicycle, right? You never learn how to do it. It's hard to believe that it's been almost 3.5 years since my last show aired. It feels really good to be back with all of you. I have missed all of you terribly through the years. I never gave up hope that one day I would be back airing The Hope Show. I might get a little emotional this morning, so bear with me. Life takes you down some twists and turns. I would never have guessed what God had in store for my future back then or how it has impacted my life since. You have been in my thoughts. I have often wondered how your lives have been. I have felt terrible through the years, thinking that I have failed all my listeners, stopping so abruptly. I feel as if I've let all of you down. I hope I can earn my listening audience back along with your forgiveness. I'm a little rusty at broadcasting, so I may not sound very polished today. Today's message is going to be about love and encouragement. My thoughts are so scattered this morning. There is so much I want to share with you. I feel at home with you here on air. I feel as if I've been gone from my family so long, and the anticipation of being back amongst old friends and family is so exciting. You know that feeling you get in your body when you finally connect with someone you haven't seen in a long, long time? And you just can't talk fast enough once you see him. And anyway, I have a lot to share with you guys this morning. So be patient with me if I start to wander off of one subject and wander on to something else. Today I'm going to be paying a tribute to my father who passed away on December 21st of 2018. Before we get started, though, I want to say that I hope you stayed tuned in after Shaziz's show this morning to listen to my daughter Kara on her hour of non-stop, no-repeat music, where she played you some of her favorite bands. She really loves music, and she has stepped outside of her comfort zone today to share this with all of you. It's a trial run for her, so if you liked what she heard, please support her by sending her messages on her chat box during the time that she plays, or you can message Shaziz in his chat box, and we'll pass along the word to her. I want to start off by sharing with all of you a little bit about what I've been up to this past 3.5 years. I want to add right now, though, before I go any further, I'm not sharing this for sympathy or to sound boastful. I'm merely sharing a piece of my life with you. As some of you may remember, my mom suffered a stroke about 3.5 years ago. I spent every weekend with her almost for a full year, helping both mom and dad. She made a full recovery, praise God. Then about the same time, my grandchildren and my stepdaughter moved in with us. They lived with us for 3.5 years, only just recently moving out into their own apartment. This past August, our stepdaughter blessed Shaziz and I with a third granddaughter. 2 years ago, we were also blessed with a grandson. The grandchildren were 2 years old and 5 years old when they first moved in with us. The younger was in preschool at a school in a neighboring town, and the older was in kindergarten in our own school district. My stepdaughter worked some long hours, so between 6 a.m. and 5 p.m., I took care of the babies. I had a lot of support from my daughter Kara and my husband Shaziz. It took all of us. You know, have you ever heard the saying, it takes a village? Boy, it took a village. Took some getting used to after being empty nesters for so long. It was very time-consuming for this grandma and tiring as well. Also, during this time, I was doing some volunteer work at a local thrift store in a neighboring town while the girls were in school. A little later, a friend approached me about their elderly cousins and wondered if there was any time in my day that I could help care for these folks during the week. I said yes, of course. I became this elderly couple's caretaker for nearly a year. In the beginning of January of 2017, my daughter began to have some health issues. I won't go into the details, but it was a very, very, very scary time in our lives. We were all very concerned how things would play out. With much prayer, she did recover, but it took nearly a whole year to put her life back together. Then, January of 2018, my brother called and asked if I could come stay with my folks for a while. My mom was in the hospital with pneumonia, and my dad was really sick. I packed up my bags instantly, thinking I would only be there for maybe a few weeks. My folks lived 2 hours north of me, but I didn't even give it a second thought. Little did I know that it would be the beginning of a very long, rough year. I don't know what I would have done without all the love and support from Shaziz and my family here at home. I was literally here today and gone tomorrow. Everything happened so fast that there was no time to prepare. I didn't even realize how bad his condition was. Dad's health continued to deteriorate. Mom returned home after recovery from pneumonia. A few weeks turned into 6 long months. Living with my mom and dad, uprooting my family. For the majority of 8 months, my dad would remain in several different hospitals. For 6 months of that, I took care of my mom, the farm, and spent every moment with my dad in the hospital. I didn't leave his side for very long. Then in June of 2018, Shaziz and I were in a bad car crash. It was only by the grace of God that we survived. I was forced to move back home to recover from the wreck. I was in and out of different therapist's office for numerous different reasons. Shaziz was badly hurt too. This past summer and fall, neither of us could do hardly anything, having to hire out all of our outdoor work and relying on our family and friends to help with everything else while we recovered. I was finally released from all the therapist care in September of 2018. Shaziz was only released a few months ago. As soon as Shaziz and I were well enough, we were traveling back every week to my folks' place to help attend to Dad's rapidly declining health. I was beginning to have some other health issues myself, not related to the wreck. I was told I would have to have surgery. I have yet to do that a year later because I was needed at my folks' place. I am currently working on getting that resolved, and hopefully that will be coming up in a few months. There were also several other matters that Shaziz and I were dealing with during 2018, too. Early August 2018, Dad came home from the hospital for good. They put him in hospice care. Then, starting about late October, early November, Dad's health started to slip to a dangerous level, and I started to stay more and more with my folks. until my dad passed away. By December 2018, I was back to staying most of the time with my folks again, and by middle of December, I didn't leave Dad's side until he passed. I finally made it back home in January to stay with my family. I still travel weekly to my folks' place to help Mom and keep her company. I won't bore you with any more details of the past 3 years of my life. I'm not telling you this to gain any sympathy or make you feel sorry for me. As I consider all of you to be old and dear friends, I'm merely updating you as friends and family would do with one another. Don't feel bad for all I have been through. I've been very blessed throughout these years. I've learned a great deal about life and death, perhaps more than most people should know. I have learned the importance of not taking one day of your life for granted, or taking for granted those that you love. Life really is so short, folks. And no one is guaranteed a tomorrow. When you watch someone pass away from this earth, right before your very eyes, it changes you in a very profound way. You never are the same. Your priorities are different. You see things in a completely different perspective. Suddenly things you thought were such a big deal, like holding a grudge, in strange relationships, what she or he said or did not say, the amount of time spent with someone or the lack thereof, personality conflicts, forgiveness, none of that matters, folks, in the end. Absolutely none of it. I am so much more blessed than most people are when a loved one passes on. I had time to prepare. I had time to spend with my dad. I shared a lot of quality time with him. I got to know him all over again. We had been estranged for a good many years. Though I was up there with him all the time, if they needed me or whatever, I came back home. It wasn't that type of an estrangement. But I was able to share the Word of God with him, and I believe at the end of his life, he did make peace with the Lord. So many, many, many days and nights over that year, we would just hold hands and talk. I was able, through the power of God, to let go of some of my own past hurts and find closure. Most people don't have that kind of opportunity or time with a dying loved one, much less the opportunity to right the wrongs and become friends again. Sometimes I just held him as he held me as a child, not speaking, just letting him feel the comfort of my arms, letting him know he wasn't alone and that he was loved. Sometimes silence and truly being present in the moment is just as precious as talking. I apologize. I do not mean to make this whole message about my dad. My family have gone over a bumpy road last year. My point in sharing all this with you is love one another like it's your last day together. Live and laugh like there is no tomorrow. Don't let one moment of your life slip by without being a blessing to someone. In John 4:16 and 19, the Bible tells us that God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in them. We love because He first loved us. It doesn't matter if it's your family, your friends, or your neighbors. God's love is unconditional and endless. That is the way our love should be, too. Love is a verb. A verb means it's an action word. I'm not sure how often we view love as a choice. Based on media, it's easy to get the wrong idea about love. We lose sight of what the true definition of love is. I believe that a lot of the time we expect love to happen to us. We become passive and we wait. And that's not how love works, folks. It takes action on our part. It's a choice we make to love or to not love someone. There are many different types of love. There's the love, the intimate love between a man and a woman. There's love between parent and child, between siblings, between friends. The love between the members of your church family. The love of animals, love between your enemy and yourself. Yes, you heard correctly, folks. I just said that. The love between your enemy and yourself. Some forms of love are harder to discipline yourself to give. Sometimes a person doesn't feel loved or doesn't feel like showing love to others. But if you want to experience true love like God, you have to make some choices in your life and you have to give love to others first. I'm not saying you have to love everything about a person, but God says love unconditionally, without judgment, without condemnation. We are to show everyone the same grace, love, and peace and mercy to others that our Heavenly Father shows us. Every day is a fresh new day, folks. And sometimes every minute is a fresh new day. For we all fall and fail. And we all have to get up and pick ourselves up and ask for forgiveness. And God puts us back on the right path. We don't always deserve His love. We are flawed. People are going to disappoint, hurt one another, say or do things they shouldn't. Sometimes people are just downright unlovable. But God calls His people to a higher standard and to show love as He does. For a moment, I want to talk to you about the book of Ruth. For those of you who have not heard or read about the book of Ruth in the Bible, let me give you a short summary. The story opens up on a nice Jewish family with a problem. Famine forces a husband and wife, Naomi, to move east with their two sons. Once they reach their destination, they put down their roots and live there for about 10 years. The sons marry two local girls, Ruth and, I'm not sure I'm going to pronounce this correctly, but Orpah. Life is good. One day, Naomi's husband and her two sons die. This leaves the three women without husbands, and in need of help. Naomi decides to go back to Bethlehem, where they were originally from. The daughters-in-law pack their luggage and join her. Naomi begs the girls, "Please stay behind." However, Ruth pledges her devotion to Naomi. Forsaking her own God and her own people to become a part of Naomi's life. The other daughter-in-law decides to stay behind after all. When they arrive at Bethlehem, things are not good for the women. Naomi is feeling down and out, while Ruth is reduced to working in the barley fields. Ruth meets a wealthy relative of Naomi's late husband. This is important to know, because Boaz would have an obligation to marry Ruth and provide for her family. However, it is found to be that there is another closer living relative than Boaz, and so that person would first be obligated to marrying Ruth. Boaz tells Ruth he would love to marry her, but he can't because of the other relative. She is not his to have. As it turns out, the random relative isn't interested in Ruth. He is interested in some of Naomi's land. So Naomi strikes up a deal. There is an exchange. Boaz is free to marry Ruth, and Naomi sells off some of her land to the random relative. But in order for Naomi to sell off some of this land, the random relative has to renounce his claim to Ruth and allow Boaz to freely marry Ruth. So the story has a happy ending for all. So we see from the beginning of the book of Ruth, Ruth chose to love Naomi, her mother-in-law, even when the consequences looked bleak. If Ruth had turned her back on Naomi after their husbands died, she would have had a much easier life. Ruth could have really made a life for herself. She was young. She could have stayed with her own people. And that is what Naomi had urged her to do. But Ruth responded by saying, "Naomi, don't urge me to leave you or turn my back on you. Where you will go, I will go. Where your people will be my people, and your God will be my God. Where you die, I shall also die and be buried alongside you." Naomi realizes that Ruth is determined. Any lesser love would not have been enough. It took a deliberate, almost stubborn love to prove to Naomi that Ruth was serious about her commitment to her mother-in-law. We have all been put together on this earth for a reason, folks. And the difficulty of love is exactly what enables each of us, and for love to be so powerful. When we have no choice but to love, love becomes harder. Perhaps we need to stop waiting for a feeling of love. The fact of the matter is, when you can't choose the people you love, we choose to love the people we have. And that is far richer, a far richer experience. And in doing so, we reflect the love of God, who chose to love us before any of us chose to love Him. In 1 Peter 1:22, the Bible says, "Love one another deeply." This kind of love isn't a noun. It's not an adjective. It's a verb. It's a very deliberate action on our part. This is the love of our Father, and the love that He calls each one of us to show to one another. Now this brings me to another part of my message, encouragement. God never created us to be alone, folks. He created man so that we would have a helpmate through life. And I'm not talking about a female or a male helpmate. I'm just saying a helpmate in general. We were designed to link arms together and work in union with one another. When one struggles and falls, someone else is there to pick us up. We are meant to encourage each other daily. I don't think we take encouraging each other as seriously as we should. It doesn't take but a moment of our time to compliment someone or to ask how they are doing. Perhaps you think that, "Oh, I need to go see my grandma today," or, "I need to go see that friend today that I haven't seen in a very long time. But I really don't have the time to do that today." And so you decide not to go. The enemy wants us to be isolated and to not take the time out of our day to encourage one another. But don't listen to his lies. We all need one another. There is strength in numbers. When you encourage others, you too will be encouraged. It provides a double blessing. You can stand in against the enemy for one another. When you're discouraged, it's so hard to fight against the enemy, it's difficult to even think straight. When you're so tired and depressed and discouraged, you let your guard down and you invite the enemy into your life. You listen to his lies, telling you you're not good enough, you can't do it. But when there are people around you who are willing to take the scripture in Hebrews seriously, then they will stand up against the enemy for you. I'm going to let you guys think about that for a moment. And I'm going to go ahead and play you a song. And then I'm going to return to our message. And I hope you really, really like the song. It really means a lot to me and it really speaks to me. So I'm going to play this song from Newsboys called "God Is Not Dead."
Yeah.
Listeners, I hope you enjoyed that song, and if you're just tuning in today, I want to recap a little bit. Hope you've been enjoying the message today. Today's show is about love and encouragement and how the enemy wants to keep you isolated from others. He wants to steal your love and your joy and your encouragement. And so what we've been talking about today is just showing unconditional love to everyone you meet, to being a blessing to everyone you meet. Love is a verb. It takes action on all of our parts to show love to others. And don't listen to Satan's lies. We need one another more now so than ever in this world that we live in. And there is strength in numbers. And when you encourage others, you too will also be encouraged. It provides a double blessing for all of us. And we can stand in against the enemy for those around us. You know, folks, when you're feeling discouraged, it's oftentimes hard to get out of that state of mind. It's hard to pick yourself up. It's hard to fight against the enemy. And it's hard to even think straight sometimes. And that's when we need each other the most. When we're tired and depressed and discouraged, we let our guard down and we invite that enemy into our life. But, you know, he's there to tell you that you're not good enough or that you can't do certain things. But when there are people around you that are willing to take Hebrews seriously and stand up for us. It's a great and wonderful thing, folks. Much like it is in football, the team stands in a line. They build a defense so that the opponent can't get through to make the score. We must all stand together. Having a strong defense is important in our lives. is crucial, in fact. We can't allow the opponent in. Folks, keep your arms linked in unity so that no one will fall for the enemy's lies. To encourage someone means to empower someone, to make them feel fearless, confident, strong, giving them hope and faith. The enemy wants to subtract from our lives. If you think he's not real, he is. And he's wandering around looking for those to devour right now. So we have to be on our toes, and we have to every morning raise up and put on the armor of God so that this won't happen to us and to our fellow brothers and sisters. I encourage you to encourage your family, your mate, your children, that coworker. If you see someone that looks in distress, help them get out of that state of feeling defeated. When you encourage one another, there's a great exchange. You can't take away a person's situation, folks, but you can stand in on that defense line for them. You can help improve their situation by being there to encourage them in their bleakest hour. You can help bring them one step closer to their victory. It's not about what happens to you, but it's about what happens in you. Showing encouragement for each other keeps your heart soft. Satan loses the battle. If Satan can get your thinking going in the wrong direction, then he can get your life going in the wrong direction. God says, rise up and be of encouragement to one another. I want to ask you today, is there someone out there who's discouraged, feeling low, feeling hopeless? Someone out there that doesn't want to hear what your friend or your neighbor or your parents or your sibling has to say? You're not alone, brothers and sisters, in your battle. There are those out there who care. I care. I love you. Let your life be a testimony to others. During the bumpy times of your life, God is preparing you to be a powerhouse of encouragement to someone else who needs help. Someone else can benefit from your life lessons. It may not seem like it right now, wherever you're at in your life. You might be asking, what in the world is this woman talking about? I feel down and out and discouraged, rock bottom. How can I help anybody else? I can barely help myself. How is this going to play out as a life lesson? How or when am I ever going to get out of this situation? I don't even see a way out. What is this lady talking about? Testify. But you know, God knows all of our situations and circumstances and conditions. And he is saying, testify. Make your life a testimony. Testify to God's grace and goodness, love, forgiveness, and mercy. God can and will use every single one of us to breathe hope and faith back into somebody else's life. God will qualify you to give his children a message if you're open and receptive. The message today is this, folks. No matter what is going on in your life, no matter which end of the mountain you're at, the valley, or on top of the mountain, there is always something that you can do for your fellow brothers and sisters. Don't keep God's goodness to yourself. Let that spark a passion in you to save souls around you. No matter whether you're feeling on top of the world or you're depressed, discouraged, lonely, feeling unloved, defeated, your situation may be great right now, or it may seem impossible. Remember this truth. Nothing is impossible with God. When God gives you life lessons, don't hide them. Don't be selfish. Go out there with that knowledge and that blessing and that encouragement and share it with the world. God always provides on your best day and on your worst day. If you think I'm crazy when I say that, think about it for a moment. You can always look at someone out there and they're having a worse time than you are. You may not think so, but it can always get worse. But it can always get better too. God always provides. On those really tough days, God just may put someone in your path to help you by saying or doing something that renews your strength and your hope. Other days, if you quiet your soul and you remain open and receptive to God's word, He'll speak to you directly. Sometimes it's the little things in life that mean the most. Never underestimate the power of showing up somewhere where you know there's a need. Show up with a broom and a mop, a bag of makeup, a meal. Give clothing to those who are less fortunate. Give someone a hug or a smile. It can make such a huge difference in somebody's day. You may not even know how much you've impacted someone's day by with something so simple and so little. Love, grace, mercy, and kindness, they are never a waste of time, folks. Sometimes I can read and reread a verse, and then yet another day I can read that verse again, and it means something totally different to me. That's because the other times I read that verse, it wasn't meant for me that day. I wasn't meant to receive that message yet. It's all in God's perfect timing. In my readings, a few things have stuck out in my mind through the years, and I want to share these thoughts with you today. I hope that they will make you feel better too, that they'll make a difference in your life. And these are just some of random thoughts that I have, but I want to share them with you. I want you to think about them. Something that has given me comfort and encouragement over the past year. The first thing is this. We all have our ups and downs in life. One day everything's going right in your life, not a cloud in sight. Then, just as suddenly, it can all change and you can find yourself in the middle of a bad storm. Some storms last just a little while, yet others last longer. And in some cases, and in my case, stretch out and seem like forever. I must say that this past year has been one of the longest valleys I've experienced in my life. I've experienced times when things looked like they would never turn around. I couldn't even see that there was any way out of the situation. But God has always pulled me through. The past year has been a huge growing time in my life. All year, it was one thing after another. It seemed that when things started to look up, something else would go awry, over and over again. But I had to remind myself, God won't leave me and He won't leave you in the valley forever. And God's time and ours don't look the same. To Him, it's just a blip in time. But for us, it may feel like months and years. But those times are just a season in our life. And when our lesson is learned, He will bring us back out onto the other side. Sometimes you may not see a way, but keep the faith. God will make a way. He is our way maker and promise keeper. He never leaves nor forsakes us. I'm sure a lot of you have probably heard of the poem called Footprints. And this poem comes to my mind when I think about this. Life really does play out just as this poem talks about. When you feel so defeated and hopeless, God will carry you when you run to Him, He will put you in under His garment, His cloak, wrap His arms around you, and shield you from the enemy, make you invisible to those fiery darts that are coming at you to and fro, and He'll hold you next to Him. He'll comfort you, and He will carry you. When you lose strength and encouragement, He will comfort and restore you. So when you look back and you're tempted to ask God why He left your side, because you only see that one set of footprints in the sand, it is then that God has carried you. They are not your footprints that you see, but that of your Heavenly Father. Life is one long journey through the valleys, up and down the mountains. But it's during those valleys that you grow and you learn, and you are thrust into a whole new level of life, a whole new chapter in your life. Don't be discouraged at where you are now or what's going on in your life. God is renewing your spirit, growing you, molding and transforming you like clay as we speak. You will not be in the valley forever. This too shall pass. And over this year, I've had to repeat that and repeat that to myself over and over. This too shall pass. Every day that I am in that valley, I am one step closer to God bringing me up out of that valley. And that gave me such hope and such strength and such encouragement. Just thinking about being in God's arms with His robe wrapped around me, Him making me invisible to the enemy. It's kind of like in the Bible where they say that these people were thrown into the fire and came out unscathed on the other side. Well, I can't tell you, folks, that you'll come out unscathed on the other side. But you'll be alive, and you'll be stronger and better for it. You won't be devoured and burnt up in the flame. Like I said, you won't be in the valley forever. You have to keep the faith in God, and you have to wait patiently. Sometimes it does truly seem like forever. But during these valleys, if you let God, He will grow you patience, and your faith will grow ever stronger. Nothing happens just because you want it to. You have to earn it. But one day soon, you will be back on top again. So please don't despair. Wherever you're at today, please don't despair. The second thing I want to encourage you to think about, I know this sounds really silly to think about prayer requests in this sense, but I promise you, hang in there while I say this to you, because it'll all make sense in the end. Sometimes I used to get so upset when I prayed and it seemed like God wasn't listening, or that it was taking too long for my prayers to be answered. Sometimes I felt like God had passed me over, or that He was ignoring me. One day someone explained this to me just like this. Like I said, I know this may sound a little silly, but bear with me. I promise you, there's a moral to this story. Picture yourself in the Department of Motor Vehicle offices, and you're there to try to renew your car tags. You go into the building, and first thing, you are asked to take a number and go be seated. Wait until your number is called to be assisted. And so you wait, and you wait. That doesn't mean you're forgotten or ignored. It simply means wait. It's not your turn yet. Others have gotten to the office before you. But eventually, after waiting, your number is called, and you finally receive what you came for in the office. You got the results that you wanted. You go on about your way. You're feeling pretty accomplished and happy. God's prayer requests and you are kind of similar in as much as that there are millions and billions of fellow brothers and sisters with prayer requests every day, all day and all night. They have made requests before you. They have waited their turn, and now it is their turn. It's important for you to remember you are never forgotten or ignored. God has heard you, and He's working on your request, but it takes time. It doesn't just happen overnight. You have to wait your turn. You're not the only child of God. When it is your turn, God will answer your prayer. However, sometimes it won't exactly be as you had prayed for or how you had planned. But I do promise you that it will be the better choice for you. Have you ever looked back on time, at a time in your life when something you wanted so bad, but you didn't get it? You did get something, perhaps not in the way you'd hoped for. But in looking back, sometimes aren't you so happy you didn't get what you wanted? Because God had something far better in store for you. God always knows what's best, and He always wants the best for your life. Thirdly, I have one more thought to leave with you. We are all guilty, or have been guilty, of worrying, stressing over things we cannot control. Perhaps, I know I'm guilty of doing that a long time ago, and sometimes I still do, but not so much. I was a lot younger back then, and I had much to learn about life. I would worry and stress about everything. I made myself sick all the time. Headaches, heart racing, scared out of my mind about finances, family, you name it, I would find something to stress about. One day I became so sick and tired of being sick and tired that there was a moment that I knew I had to change something. I didn't have any control over certain aspects of my life. And when I finally learned that truth, and I finally laid those burdens at God's feet, and I did not pick them back up again, but had complete faith in God, I was free indeed. I know that sounds easier said than done, and believe me, it is. It doesn't happen overnight, but if you pray about it, God will answer that prayer too. He did for me, and He will for you. I wish I could say that I learned that early on in life, but it was so much later in life that I finally accepted that truth. Old habits die hard. But in the midst of this past year, I have been struck with how much we are given and how much we take for granted. I was overwhelmed with how much God has provided for us. Just how much grace and mercy and forgiveness and love that He gives us. And I was also overwhelmed with how seldom we acknowledge Him for it. Look around you. There are so many people in need. Need for one person is different than need for another. Need for one might be a good hot meal, but need for another may be needing someone to believe in them again. Need for one might be needing to get their car fixed or their lawn mowed, but need for another might be someone being kind enough to offer someone a room for the night, or picking up a dog out of the street after he's just been hit by a car. Everyone has the ability to see a need and to do something about it. unless you are just so into yourself that you've tuned the world out. Folks, check on people. Check on the widowed. Check on the elderly. Spend time with those you love. Spend time with your friends. Make time. Even if you don't think you have time. If you do so, you will have just made someone's day. And not only have been a blessing to them, but you will be blessed too. Offer a coworker a ride to work because you know their car is broke down. Shovel snow for your neighbor's driveway. Bring someone you know a hot cup of soup when they're sick. Put a sticky note on someone's desk and tell them you are thinking of them. See, that's not so hard. Not only have you loved them, but you have also encouraged them. Really, folks, it's the little things in life that oftentimes mean the most. Most of the time, these acts of love don't cost you hardly anything, except some of your time. God isn't looking for perfect men and women. God is looking for people who will reverence Him in their hearts and lifestyles. God is looking for people in whom He can take up residence. God is looking for people who are willing to be set apart. At this time, I want to go to prayer, and then I'll be wrapping up the show. Lord, we know that You understand our shortcomings, for You are the one who created us. But we also know that You are holy and awesome. Forgive us for being distracted from You. Please perform a work in us that might be pleasing in Your sight. We sing Your praise and give You all the glory and credit for the things in our lives. And we cry out this morning, "Holy, holy is He." But with each and every one of us today, be with each and every one of us today as we go about our day and put a hedge of protection around each of our families and ourselves. Keep us safe. Give us provision. May each one of Your children find their way back to You. And for those of you who already have an intimate relationship with You, may they only grow stronger and stronger. And I pray that You would use each and every one of us in any way You see fit to further Your kingdom. Thank You in advance, Lord, for these answered prayers. In Jesus' name. And all the people said, Amen. These next two closing songs will be Speak Life from Toby Mac. And the other one holds a very dear place in my heart right now. It brings me joy, but also brings me sadness. This last song was played at my dad's funeral. The Old Rugged Cross. So for now, farewell, Dad. I love you, but I won't say goodbye. As I said to you in your last passing moments as I held your hand and I prayed over you and I watched you slip away, until we meet again, Dad, on the other side. Folks, I have enjoyed today's message. I hope you've enjoyed today's message, and I have enjoyed being here with you again. And I hope that you will tune in again next week. And I want you to know, everybody, whether you're in the valley or on top of the mountain, I love you, and thinking of you, and God bless.
Some days life feels perfect, other days it just ain't working. The good, the bad, the right, the wrong, and everything in between. Yo, it's crazy, amazing, we can turn our heart through the words we say. Mountains crumble with every syllable, hope can live or die. So speak life to tongue gets twisted. Other days my thoughts just fall apart. I do, I don't, I will, I won't. It's like I'm drowning in the deep. Well, it's crazy to imagine words from my lips as the arms of compassion. Mountains crumble with every syllable. Hope can live or die. So speak life. Like fire, hope will fall like rain when you speak life with the words you say. Raise your thoughts a little higher, use your words to inspire. Joy will fall like rain when you speak life with the things you say. Feels perfect.
Someday to my home far away, where his glory forever I'll share. So I'll cherish the overdid cross till my trophies at last.